the government coming? We need gasoline. With gasoline, you're going to bring food and gasoline and clothes? And gasoline to run generators. Bring us generators. Bring us something to get heat. We're going to die if we get killed with the weather. We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We have no cars. President Obama, please listen to us down here. We are going to die. You don't understand. You've got to get your trucks here on this corner.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Today's guest is Fox 519 from Radio Free Readout. Fox, welcome back to the show.
Always good to be back with you, good sir, and always thank you for your continued support of Eye on the Economy.
Absolutely, man. You guys are doing God's work up there, so we got to do what we can to support you guys. Now, the last time you were on the show, we discussed the multitudes of secular economists like David Morgan and Martin Armstrong, as well as some biblical scholars like Mark Biltz, who's up in your neck of the woods, and Jonathan Kahn, and they're all anticipating massive market turmoil this fall. Well, September is right around the corner, and we're seeing some ominous signs. So let's start with China. The Shanghai Composite lost 10% in 2 days last week. I think it was Monday and Tuesday. What's that telling us?
Well, basically what I feel is a couple different things with China. Like I've said in the past, we've got October coming up, which is a very, very big thing for the Chinese because we have the evaluation of their currency to be brought in and put into the SDR, the special drawing rights basket of currencies. And that's something that we know the meeting has already taken place on. It's just a matter of time now before that gets ratified. Now, a couple things to consider is the Chinese yuan itself has always been pretty rated high in contrast to the euro. I mean, the euro's always outbased it, but at this point now, they're running on a fairly equal par for the moment. And so I think the big thing we want to look at is, okay, why are the Chinese artificially deflating that? And, it's a lot of secular economists, like we've talked about in the past, are, they're just thinking it's a big sell-off in relationship to the global economy, and, there's just fear running in China. No. This is not what it is. The Chinese are actually deflating their economy to make them look weaker, like they need to be a part of this program. We know that China can stand alone, but it's going to be – they're going to make themselves appear very, very weak in the eyes of their enemy, and then they're going to get inside with their Trojan horse of a currency, and they're going to instantly come out and be the belle of the ball when they back that currency with gold, in my opinion.
And so you think they're sandbagging as far as their economic numbers, and I guess you think they're sandbagging on their gold holdings as well then?
Oh, well, we know they've been sandbagging on that for a while, but – one of the biggest things I think we saw last week, I can't remember where it was. Here it is. It was on Zero Hedge, talking about how China has increased their gold percentage by 57% in 1 month. Now, this was published back on 7/17. So, obviously, each week they seem to be buying up more and more and more gold. So, the question is, why would an economy that seems to be failing all of a sudden be buying up tons and tons and tons of gold if they weren't planning some type of very strategic, very serious financial move later this year?
What do you think all of this means for the global economy? And then second part of that question, what does it mean for America?
Well, I think from a global standard, we see some very for example, we'll take Greece. The deal in Greece is not done yet. In fact, there was an article in Financial Times yesterday that talked about there's some things that are coming out. In fact, Wolfgang Schnabel came out and basically said, this isn't really happening. The deal isn't there. We're really not going to bail Greece out until they comply with what we want them to comply with. So Greece actually physically hasn't got any money back at all. So they still don't have any money. The deal still isn't done, and the IMF and those guys have not put money back into the coffers in Greece. So nothing's been solved there. It's just been calmed down, and everybody's now focusing on Cecil the Lion other than the global economy. But what that means for the long run is Greece is still not done. We have Spain next on the block, followed by Italy and Portugal after that point. So what this means is we're going to see this domino effect later this fall. If Greece doesn't get it, there's a formal Grexit, and that in Wolfgang Schnabel's his opinion, that should have happened already. And I wouldn't be surprised if it still does. If that happens, we're going to see domino after domino after domino. Then we're going to see the Chinese come in, and we're going to see them all of a sudden just back their currency with gold. And everybody's going to flood away from standard bonds and other currencies into the Chinese yuan, which seems to be taking off yet again. We have the London Metals Exchange allowing the yuan to be used not a reserve currency, but a collateral. So the London Metals Exchange is now taking the yuan as collateral when it comes to their different trades. So that's a pretty significant thing for the global economy. People are now trusting the yuan more and more and more.
And then you mentioned Cecil the Lion. Now there's another horrendous act that's happened to a beloved animal, and it was Timmy the Chicken. And Timmy I don't know if you can call him a chicken or not, because he was raised in one of those barns by McDonald's, and maybe he was Timmy the Animal 57, but he ended up in a batch of chicken McNuggets, and of course it gets mixed in with like cornmeal and plasticides or some kind of a soy byproduct and formulated and mashed, and they go out in all of these batches of chicken McNuggets, and Timmy the Chicken ended up spread out over something like 37,000 orders of chicken McNuggets that all went to San Francisco. So everybody in San Francisco that ate chicken McNuggets in the past like 2 weeks is responsible for killing Timmy the Chicken. So I'm putting out a petition for everybody to sign, and what we want to do is just quarantine the entire city of San Francisco and turn it into one big FEMA camp.
Well, I think, one, we have to question, there's actually chicken and chicken McNuggets?
Not very much. That's why Timmy was able to supply enough chicken meat for something like 37,000 orders.
Well, I'm not opposed to actually cutting off San Francisco, but I think we just have to be careful who we contain within San Francisco.
And now, Timmy the Chicken, he's a commodity, so big commodities crash.
Huge commodities crash. This is one of those signs, I think, as you think about guys like Jonathan Kahn and some of those other people who are looking at late this year. We have to compare, again, from a historical reference, going, okay, what did commodities do right before 2008? And we're looking into late 2007. Gold goes down. Silver goes down. Iron goes down. Copper bottomed out in 2007, just like it is right now, which is very unique because the demand for copper theoretically should be high all over the planet. With the amount of phones and computers and laptops and tablets being produced, copper should be going like wildfire, as well as gold. The problem is we're seeing these, one, obviously we have China buying up everything they can get their hands on, but two, the demand for these electronics truly isn't taking off because people can't afford it. In fact, there was an interesting article on Investment Watch blog about why do we have all these young people who just aren't entering the workforce at all? Well, one, because we're obviously giving away the farm when it comes to, you know, entitlements and things like that. But two, people across the world can't afford these devices and things like that. And not only that, is that huge mega construction companies who would normally need the copper line and copper, they're just, the demand isn't there. So we're seeing this giant commodities crash, which is very, very telling about where things are headed towards in the fall. And I mean, it's the parallels from 2007 to 2008 and now are incredibly scary. And it's just amazing where you tie in things like the Shemitah into what's going on right now. It's just anybody who's not paying attention to this, I pity them a tremendous amount.
And then in 2008, once the market made that decisive downturn, Two of the commodities that you just mentioned, they rebounded with a vengeance and soared to new highs. If we get a repeat of 08, do you think gold and silver will perform in line with what they did last time?
I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, in times of financial uncertainty, we know that gold and silver have amazing intrinsic value. It's something that it's biblical currency. It's a constitutional currency. There was a reason that God allowed silver and gold currency all throughout the Bible to be used. Yes, you can't feed yourself by eating some gold, but at the same time, silver was used by what we call the lower to middle class throughout all of the Bible. They traded for pieces of silver. The Lord was betrayed for silver. He wasn't betrayed for gold. I mean, so there's fairly amazing significance to silver itself, but the biggest thing is it's going to be a haven. I mean, there's, it's going to be a bloodbath in the marketplace. And that's something that's we have to look at and go, okay, well, where should I put my money? We talk about this on Radio Free Readout. We also talk about this in Eye on the Economy from time to time about when gold moves. But in all seriousness, I think if the listening audience is listening right now, and a lot of people are already kind of have steered this direction, have cashed out their 401ks or taken those tax penalties and realizing that they have to pay their allowance to the king, and they have to pay their penalty, which is really true. It's our money anyway, so why should we be taxed on it? But at the same time, it's gold and silver, physical gold and silver. And I got to again, folks, physical gold and silver is where you need to be. That's I can't stress that enough. Yeah, it is going to skyrocket because people are not going to know what else to do. You know, they're going to go to a gold-backed currency, but that's only going to last so long. But domestically, I mean, there's not going to be much here to be able to put their monies into. So I think gold and silver are going to rocket up again.
Now, you know, Jonathan Cahn's premise is that America has forsaken God and should expect to be judged. Abortion, that's been a sin that's been tolerated by America for over 40 years. But the Center for Medical Progress, their videos have made it clear just what a horrific practice abortion is. Do you think those videos could be a type of evidence that's being brought out against this country, sort of like almost like a courtroom drama right before we're judged guilty and sentenced?
Yeah, I do. And I think that Mrs. Fox 519 and I were kind of talking about that these videos this week that have come out. One, I think that the Center of Medical Progress should continue to release these videos. I don't care what a judge says. You guys continue to release those because, yes, what we're battling is we're battling Satan. We're battling evil. We're battling what would be the equivalent of what Dr. Mengele did in with the concentration camps. They're taking our children and they're cutting them apart and selling their body parts. I mean, if somebody were to take my littlest fox and take her and begin to cut her up, you know, to sell her body parts, you could not contain me. The rage I would pity anybody standing in the way of my Irish body because it would be explosive. And that's what America should be doing right now when they realize these are our children. These are the littlest, the most helpless among us. I mean, it was when I was in law enforcement, I had the hardest time with domestic violence situations when I would go there if little kids, the innocent among us, were involved. Just seeing what I've seen in the last 2 weeks just sickens me. Just makes me so angry over the state of this. And the outrage that should be coming out in America should be visceral. The Christian community right now should be up in arms more than they are right now. We shouldn't just be on Facebook saying this is disgusting and this is wrong and this is horrible. We should be in the offices of our elected officials, or their phone shouldn't be able to touch the desk because it rings so often. They say defund Planned Parenthood, shut them down. This is an evil, evil organization. But you know what? That's not happening. And you know what? We are God is going to judge us. I think he already has judged us. I think we are moving a direction right now that is incredibly scary. I mean, just look, what happened in Detroit? I'll call it hell, but we'll call it Detroit, where they've unveiled the statue of, I think it's what, Baphomet or whatever the name of that horrible creature that, you know, hey, those, they were kicked out of heaven for a reason, but yet we're going to allow a city to honor that. Now, granted, I do have to position it with this. We have freedom of religion in this country, and by gall, I will die to protect those rights. But there's some things for good and upright and moral and just people, and that is not moral, upright, and just.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold.
So what's happened is we've erected this Baphomet statue in Detroit in the same week that it was announced that Oklahoma had to take down the Ten Commandments. So we've officially, and I understand it didn't happen in the same city, but it, when you look at it from a national perspective, you know, we exchanged the law of God for Satan. And I mean, and you look at what just happened with the White House, with projecting the rainbow colors on the White House after the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage, and the rainbow was given as a sign that God would never judge the earth and destroy it by water again. And now those very colors of that covenant that he made with the earth is being used to flaunt in his face and shake our fist at God.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think when we saw those rainbow colors be projected up on the White House, that, and honestly, truly, it was funny how I didn't get it right away. And Mrs. Fox 519 pulled it out. She goes, they just took the symbol from God and they're using it, a symbol that it was a symbol of judgment. It was a symbol of, hey, I'm never going to destroy the world again. But it was a symbol of also by water. But he wouldn't say he wouldn't destroy it by anything else. He didn't say he wouldn't destroy it by fire.
Oh, yeah.
Or by glass.
Yeah, Second Peter promises that the present heaven and earth are reserved for destruction by fire. So it absolutely is going to be destroyed by fire. You got that right. Now, Hillary is saying that we need to change our religious beliefs. And I suspect that she's not implying that we need to start praying more.
Yeah, absolutely. I say, well, when those colors were on the White House, it absolutely was a slam in the face to the Lord. They're using something that he used as a symbol of judgment. It was a symbol of, you know what? I'm never going to flood the world again. But it doesn't say that his judgment isn't going to come in a different form next time around. And I think that's something as Christians we need to be really super concerned with, over the fact that the judgment is coming. But the next time around, it's going to be in fire. Now, what that fire may look like, it could be, you know, it could be like a state of California drying up. It could be the economy collapsing. It could be nuclear war. I mean, it could be all sorts of things that we've never taken into account. But the fact that we're not, as Christians, standing up to this is fairly significant. And we really need to mind ourselves with what we're not doing and what we should be doing. I think James 4 admonishes us that he who knows what he should be doing and doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Mm. Now, so what we've got converging right now is we've got Hillary's comments about we need to turn our back on our religious beliefs. We've got Detroit has replaced a statue of Satan at the same time that Oklahoma's taken down the Ten Commandments. We've got the Blood Moons coming up in September. We've got the Shemitah coming up in September. We've just had the ruling on gay marriage by the Supreme Court, the colors of God's covenant used to poke him in the eye, basically. And we've seen these videos coming out of this horrific thing that's been going on with Planned Parenthood, and the sale of the corpses of these murdered children. When you look at all of that stuff, and I know you don't have a crystal ball just like I don't, but if you had to sit down and write what you think the headlines are going to be for this September and October, what do you think they'd say?
What do I think they would say? I think for the first one we would say and see is massive stock collapse, Dow down 5,000 points. Massive stock collapse. Bond market collapses. U.S. Treasuries all sold, all being cashed in. We'll see things like mass shooting at Catholic church. Shooter kills himself associated with Islam. You know, it's going to be things like that. We're going to see this moral breakdown, this horrible, terrible, I don't know how to describe it, but just we're going to see event after event after event just break down, and it's going to be bad. I mean, the headlines are every day. There's not going to be anything that people are going to pick up and go, oh, that's a positive story. It's going to be bad thing after bad thing after bad thing.
And you mentioned a mass shooting by a Muslim. When Israel turned their back on God, he used the Babylonians and the Assyrians to judge them. Geographically, the ISIS and the people that Death to America people, they are all from that same geographical location that God used to judge Israel. Do you think that's coincidental?
The thing is, though, I don't think Israel has earned the judgment. I think Israel has stood very strong and very firmly in their faith and their resolution.
Well, I was referring to their judgment that they had in 586 BC
Yeah, the parallels to that now, it's like when a nation turns its eyes away, one, from Israel as their ally, it doesn't actually protect God's chosen children, the children of Jacob and Isaac. But when we as a nation decide that we know better than God, not a place I think I'd like to be.
And you mentioned a few things that you think some folks are trying to do. I've been personally, I put together my SRC, which is literally, it's my Shemitah readiness checklist. And, I might say that a little tongue in cheek, but it's a serious thing because I want to have this minimum level of preparedness by September 1st. I'm putting together sort of a similar thing for one of the guys in my prepper group, and we've our group has said, okay, here's sort of the things that this is sort of where we want to be by September 1st. We want to make sure that at a bare minimum we've hit a certain level of food storage, and we're trying to do what we can to get everybody in the group's water. To where they can get access their water from their wells off grid by putting in hand pumps, and when we're a relatively new group, so there's a lot of things that we haven't had time to really get ironed out, but we're trying to get the basics. Okay, if this type of event happens, where are we going to go? Where are we going to rally? And all that type of stuff. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Fox, was because all through August, we're going to be talking about the Shemitah readiness checklist for listeners. And I want to try to get experts from all different fields of preparedness to talk about some of the things that we can do to get in a better position than what we're in for whatever may or may not happen to be ready for that. And what we want to ask you is, how do we get prepared financially?
Well, I think right now, this is the way I'm advising a lot of people, is only keep the minimum in the bank you need. Anything else has got to be rolled into one, some type of savings program, whether physical gold or silver. Two, you need to make sure your beans, your bolts, and your band-aids are all squared away. If you don't have that, you've got nothing.
And then I've had some listeners email me, and they want to know, you know, what should I do with my 401k? And they want to know if there are any funds that might be a good place to ride out the storm. Or is this more of a case of where you're on the train tracks and you see a bright light heading in your direction?
Nope. I think there's no fund you can go to actually prevent against that. I think anything that's tied into the market, absolutely no. You can't prevent it. There's no place to physically hide it anywhere.
And what are the tax penalties that folks will have to face if they decide to get out altogether from a 401k?
Well, they're really looking at more of a 20% tax penalty position. I think when you take that withdrawal from the 401k, you've got to really look at, you know, one, you can pay your taxes up front. I always recommend doing the 20%, just because, or you can even pay more than that. So at tax time, you know, you see money come back to you. That depends on how much you take, but you've got to understand there is going to be a loss. That is something you have to make the choice that you are going to take a loss on.
So it might be one of those things that somebody needs to just get sort of a multitude of counselors of, but if they're going to do that, they need to get people that are sort of tuned in and turned on to what's going on in the world. Because if you just get some Yahoo off of Wall Street that's, you know, looking to get a big bonus, he's not going to tell you to do that. He's not going to tell you to get your money out.
No, absolutely not. No, he's going to tell you to keep it in there as long as you possibly can. And do every single trade and do this, that, and the other thing strategy, because that's going to make him money every single time he does that.
And you said you don't really feel safe keeping money in the banks?
No, not the least bit. In fact, right now, credit unions aren't even safe because the national director of credit unions, especially in Washington State, has just been given the right to shut off credit union withdrawals at any time he feels the need.
What are you doing to prepare outside of the financial realm? And you guys are doing some things with the community up in Washington right now?
We are. Yeah, actually, we are really big right now on making sure that we're getting non-civil body politics into place and getting assemblies up and going. And that's super important. Assemblies are something that when you think about how our forefathers managed to pull things together, assemblies were the way that they did it long before we did this. So assemblies are absolutely the way that we need to make sure that we do things lawfully, that we do things the right way. But assemblies are actually the best possible way that any time, excuse me here, I'm getting ready to head to a family gathering.
Sure.
that assemblies are possibly, quite literally, the only way we may have a voice in the future. So I would say, right now, if we haven't already taken the opportunity, your community, you guys should be getting together and forming assemblies, you know, and having committees within those, committees of correspondence, committees of safety. All of those rolled together should absolutely be where you're focused at the moment.
Well, you've given us a lot of good stuff to think about, Fox. We really appreciate you taking out the time to come on the show and give us some great tips today.
Sorry about the delay here, but
it's all right.
So.
Sure thing, and right. I think that we were stepping on some toes in the spiritual realm or somewhere that we got those technical difficulties. That's for sure. It came right around the time we started attacking that. So, thanks again so much, and
no problem.
We'll talk to you soon, and everybody can check you out where
at www.radiofreeredoubt.com.
Thanks again, Fox.
All right, you take care.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.